answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You know, there are moments in this life, and I mean this literally, when the pure, unadulterated evil is unleashed on this world. The people of Israel lived through one such moment this weekend. The bloody hands of the terrorist organization Hamas, a group whose stated purpose for being is to kill Jews. This was an act of sheer evil. More than 1,000 civilians slaughtered, not just killed, slaughtered in Israel. Among them, at least 14 American citizens killed. Parents butchered, using their bodies to try to protect their children. Stomach-turning reports of babies being killed.
Can you even begin to imagine the visuals of what President Biden was describing? You know yourself that if someone's going to try to hurt your child, you're going to put yourself between them and the attacker. And these parents did the same in Israel. They were butchered and stabbed and shot to death, and eventually the child either killed, possibly beheaded, or taken hostage. President Biden's official remarks since last weekend, delivered yesterday. I want to tell you that, in my opinion, this statement comes way too late, but I'm not looking to condemn Biden for some of those remarks and others he's going to make. This is not a time to play partisan politics. And he's even going to emphasize that. But there's some things I just will not let slide by. Because I'm here for you. And I don't think you want to let them slide by either. Thank you for joining us. This is the first hour of two of Larry Connors USA. Back to back, right here for you. If you miss any part of this hour or the next hour, remember you can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and pull up a podcast, visual and or audio. We are streaming at Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter. Also video streaming on News Talk STL, Facebook and Twitter, and of course on Rumble. You're welcome to choose whichever platform you want. Watch and then share with others in case they missed it. Just push the share button and it happens. If you want to make sure you don't miss anything, simply push subscribe and we'll make sure it gets sent to you on a daily basis. You don't miss anything. So the latest as we have it right now, well, before I go back to the latest, when the president talked about the slaughter, IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, as they go into some of these towns, and they're still trying to clear some of the areas that might be close to the Gaza Strip, right along the buffer zone, and they're having to go door to door because they're not sure there aren't terrorists still inside Israel. I have no doubt they're there. I'm sure IDF has no doubt they're still in the area. And many doors they go to open are booby-trapped. Grenades go off, so they have to be careful. And in some cases, they may be careful when they open the door, but the explosion would kill hostages tied up next to the door. And Hamas laughs, thinking here they came to save, and they killed the people they came to save. And IDF reporting, they went to one kibbutz and found children butchered in ISIS style. That would include babies who had their heads cut off. For what purpose except savagery? There's no innocence that should be punished as those children were. I will tell you this, as you know, I'm not a big Biden fan. I'm not. But I also think at a point like this, the nation needs to come together behind our commander-in-chief. If he will back up what he says. Now, that's the other key. But the other thing is, I will admit that in his statement yesterday, delayed as it was, he sounded more presidential than ever. And as he continued talking about how we will stand with Israel.
So in this moment, we must be crystal clear. We stand with Israel. We stand with Israel. And we will make sure Israel has what it needs to take care of its citizens, defend itself, and respond to this attack. There's no justification for terrorism. There's no excuse. Hamas does not stand for the Palestinian people's right to dignity and self-determination. Its stated purpose is the annihilation of the State of Israel and the murder of Jewish people. They use Palestinian civilians as human shields. Hamas offers nothing but terror and bloodshed with no regard to who pays the price.
No regard, including their own people. Because Israel continues to pound rockets into the Gaza Strip. And they continue advancing through different portions with these rockets. Select targets that they've previously identified as Hamas strongholds and or weapon caches. But they also know that there are children and women nearby. Now, the Israeli Defense Forces did give advance word. You have X number of hours to leave. If you live one of these areas, near one of them, you need to move as far away as possible. Maybe they were not allowed to. So there are, I hate the term, but collateral casualties. Children, women, you would not want to be killed because they had nothing to do with Hamas. Men as well. They're just trying to earn a living for their family. And many of them probably had permits and visas to enter Israel, to cross the buffer zone and go through a checkpoint and go to work in Israel, Jerusalem, or wherever they could, earn what they could, and then go back to the Gaza Strip because there were no jobs there, no money. So Israel was helping them with that. But unfortunately, it appears also some were using that as an opportunity to sneak weapons into Israel and have them ready once they actually carried out their assault. Now, you're going to hear at some point, and the rumblings are already starting, that Israel needs to back off. We need a ceasefire. We heard that earlier. We heard it from some we would certainly expect to hear it from. But then there are others all beginning to say, you know what? Don't destroy Gaza Strip entirely and the people. And you need a ceasefire. You need a ceasefire? You don't have a ceasefire until you absolutely annihilate the enemy and they're no longer breathing or existing. President Biden.
Like every nation in the world, Israel has the right to respond, indeed has a duty to respond to these vicious attacks. I just got off the phone with a third call with Prime Minister Netanyahu. And I told him, the United States experience what Israel is experiencing, our response would be swift, decisive, and overwhelming. We also discussed how democracies like Israel and the United States are stronger and more secure when we act according to the rule of law. Terrorists purposely target civilians, kill them. We uphold the laws of war, the law of war. It matters. There's a difference. Today, Americans across the country are praying for all those families that have been ripped apart. A lot of us know how it feels. It leaves a black hole in your chest when you lose family. Feeling like you're being sucked in. The anger, the pain.
I've never lost a child, thank God. But for those of you who have, I'm sure you certainly understand the president's remarks. Now, we're already seeing reports out of Lebanon that drones are being flown from Lebanon into parts of Israel. So far, no rockets or missiles released from Lebanon. But we knew they might start an incursion as well from the north. President Biden addressing the U.S. assistance headed to the region.
My team has been in near constant communication with our Israeli partners and partners all across the region and the world from the moment this crisis began. We're surging additional military assistance, including ammunition and interceptors, to replenish Iron Dome. We're going to make sure that Israel does not run out of these critical assets to defend its cities and its citizens. My administration has consulted closely with Congress throughout this crisis. And when Congress returns, we're going to ask them to take urgent action to fund the national security requirements of our critical partners. This is not about party or politics. This is about the security of our world.
It is. But, of course, within our world, we have some who want to excuse this. I'm looking at a piece here that Students for Justice in Palestine are planning a day of resistance, claiming the Israeli civilians were legitimate targets. There was no war. It's not like those caught in the Gaza Strip. And even then, they were given advance notice. We are coming. You have time to escape if you can. These were people enjoying a party on the beach. It was a peace party. And in fact, many who were there probably favor a dual state between Israel and Palestine. They died without having a chance to express that view. And I wonder what their view was just in seconds, moments before. We do know this. It's part of my commentary that's running today. I'm absolutely incensed that Minnesota Congressman Rashida Tlaib has a Palestinian flag outside the door of her congressional office. And today, a reporter for Fox News tried to run her down and ask her questions about, do you not care about these children killed? It's going to be hard to hear, but I want you to hear it.
Terrorists have cut off babies' heads and burned children alive. Do you support Israel's rights to defend themselves against this brutality?
We're just going to go through here.
You can't comment about Hamas terrorists chopping off babies' heads. Do you condone what Hamas has done, chopping off babies' heads, burning children alive, raping women in the street? You have no comment about children's heads being chopped off? Congressman, why do you have a Palestinian flag outside your office if you do not condone what Hamas terrorists have done to Israel? Do Israeli lives not matter to you?
She would not even respond about children's heads being chopped off. And to that fact, the president addressed it to some extent, and KJBP, his press secretary, had stated, it's murderous, it's savagery, there's no excuse for it. But there is something the president failed to do, failed to state.
It's just shocking how the Biden administration has tiptoed around this. We all know the world's greatest sponsor of terror, that's Iran. Iran is at the very heart of this. They're behind this. We've allowed them to enrich themselves under the Biden administration. And Larry, you and I know how the sanctions were working under the Trump administration. We worked together to impose them. You remember how we got Japan to stop buying Iranian crude. We had Iran at a point where they were ready to bargain, but they waited till the outcome of the election. The Bidens came in, and here's what's happened. They've looked the other way on the sanctions. We've allowed them to increase their capital accounts by roughly $50 billion just in additional oil sales since they've come in. You recall earlier this year, the Biden administration signed off on Iraq, making a $10 billion payment to Iran. Then most recently, the $6 billion ransom payment. What we've done is put Iran in a position to do precisely what they have done.
And that is what the president failed to do. He did not call out Iran because he's complicit with Iran. That's the issue. And in fact, he's also responsible for restoring funding for the UN Relief and Works Agency, an organization facing decades of fueling radical Islam and anti-Semitism in Gaza. Fueling it. He did not call out those aside from Hamas and what the U.S. has done wrong and say we're putting a stop to it. That was Congressman Hagerty on Larry Kudlow's program. And again, we know Iran is against peace.
Israel and Saudi Arabia were coming back to the table that President Trump set in terms of the Abraham Accords that we were at the precipice of getting done at the end of the last administration. You worked on that too, Larry. As the Iranians saw the Saudis and the Israelis coming back to the table, the last thing they want to see is prosperity and the freedom that goes along with it break out in the Middle East. I think that's the inspiration for this, to disrupt that entire process using their proxies, Hamas, to do it. And the fact that Joe Biden won't even mention it, speak to the cause of this, I think is absolutely shocking.
It is shocking. And he should say, we're freezing the money. Didn't say word one. I want you to hear from an advisor to Benjamin Netanyahu on how they're going to deal when it comes to Hamas.
Hamas, as we all know, they murder, target civilians and hide behind their own civilians. That's their known tactic. They've been doing this for years. This time it's going to be different. Our response is different. We are at war. We have no other choice but to win this war and to dismantle Hamas. How are we going to do that? What are the operational moves that we will be doing over the next days, weeks, perhaps months? I leave that to the IDF. We leave that to the IDF, which I have full confidence in. It's the best army on earth, and it will destroy these terrorists.
Yes. But, of course, in the process, there will be innocent civilians killed. That will be collateral from war, fog of war, because they're in harm's way. Those attending a beach party, those living in their homes, those babies in their cribs, they had nothing to do with any war, no debate over a Palestinian state or Israeli state only, and yet they were slaughtered. Coming up in the next hour, more on what the U.S. is going to be doing and where we're failing. And what is Putin's response to all this? That's also coming up. That'll be in this hour before we wrap up. And another question for you. Are Israel and Hamas and even the U.S. at this time engaged in a zero-sum game? Zero-sum. No winners, no losers. Are all losers and no winners? You're going to hear next from my guest. You don't want to miss it. As always, thanks for being with us. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you, why pay more than four? In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets, ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Always an engaging, intriguing, and enlightening conversation when I have John Daniel Davidson, senior editor of The Federalist. John, not quite on the air. We're still trying to get him. We're calling at this point. We'll get him locked in a moment. He wrote a piece in The Federalist, which you can read, and it points out that Israel and Hamas are embroiled in a zero-sum religious war, comma, and so is the West. When you look at it from that perspective, well, then that means what is going to be gained? Will anything be gained? Will anything be changed? What we do know is that the battle is underway and the end is far from near. Jonathan, glad to have you on board again.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So I was setting up the title for your piece, and I don't want to give away too much beyond the fact that you say it's a zero-sum religious war. Give me a quick thumbnail sketch of what you mean by that phrase.
Well, it's obvious that Israel and Hamas are engaged in a religious war. They cannot coexist next to each other. And that is what we are engaged in the West as well. And the conflict between Israel and Hamas helps us to see that. The West is also engaged in a religious war that will only have one winner. There can be no compromise. The side of Hamas is also the side of the post-Christian pagans in the West. And that are the, you know, that is the people, those are the people who are out there cheering Hamas, who are marching in the street, who are signing statements in support of Hamas. And these are not people in the Middle East. This is in every major city in the United States.
Right.
And in
Congress, basically. Go ahead.
And in Congress as well. Exactly. You see this from Democrats in Congress, Democrat Socialists of America, every major university. The student groups at Ivy League universities, places like Harvard and Yale, these are people with whom we cannot share a republic. They do not accept Western civilization and the Christian precepts on which it rests. And that's what I mean by a religious war.
Well, there are different ways it's stated, both in the Bible and the Old Testament, Isaiah and the Torah. Are you saying that the lion cannot lay down with a lamb?
That's one way of putting it. The imagery of the lion laying down with the lamb in Scripture refers to the heavenly kingdom, where all things
1,000 years into, right?
Yeah, where all things are made new. That's not supposed to be a reference to the here and now. And the here and now, you know, what did God order the Israelites to do to the pagan demon worshipping peoples they encountered in the Promised Land? Destroy them,
And kill babies. You're right. Stone babies, bash their heads. You're right. That's all in the Old Testament. Be just as heathen to them as we're seeing Hamas against Israeli citizens.
Well, that's right. I'm not saying that, you know, Israelis need to do unto Hamas as Hamas has done unto them. What I'm saying is that Hamas cannot be allowed to exist if Israel wants to exist. It's one or the other. Now, Hamas, of course, are the terrorist rulers of Gaza, and they rule over the people of Gaza with an iron fist, much like the Chinese Communist Party rules right. over the people of China. But Hamas as an organization, Hamas as a movement, as a global movement, right, has to be wiped out. So Israel has to hunt down Hamas in Gaza, but they also have to hunt down Hamas leaders in Qatar, in you know, other cities in the Middle East, all across the globe. Hamas has to be ended, and this conflict makes that clear. But what it should make clear for us is that we cannot have a civilization with people who support the kinds of things that Hamas has done.
All right, let me take it to a broader step. We're already seeing drones and a threat of an attack from the north from Lebanon, Hezbollah.
Yeah, that's right. I actually just I have seen some recent reports that might actually be a false alarm, but no one should be surprised if an attack does come from the north. Iran is behind both the Hamas attacks, as the Wall Street Journal reported yesterday, and is also the state sponsor of Hezbollah in Lebanon. So, you know, the idea that this is not a multi-state and multi-front war that Israel is engaged in now is a fallacy. The operation in Gaza is only part of it, because, of course, the money and a lot of the technical expertise come from Tehran.
All right, so let's move from Hamas to Hezbollah to the actual PLO.
From what I have read in the news and from what I understand, you know, the funding for the PLO and the PLO itself is untouched by this and is still receiving funding and aid and has distanced itself from this. I think one of the big mistakes that Israel has made and Netanyahu has made over the years is to take a lighter touch with Hamas as a way to diminish the PLO. And diminish Abbas, and that proves to have been a mistake. That there is no playing one off the other. If you take a light hand with Hamas, if you treat them with kid's gloves, you end up with what we saw this weekend.
You know,
and so hopefully that there will be an end to that kind of a thing.
Before you join us, I pointed out to the audience, reminding them that Netanyahu and the Israeli government had actually given work permits and visas for Hamas, not Hamas,
yeah,
but for Gaza residents to come into Israel, go to work, earn money, go back, and, you know, supposedly giving them a chance to improve their lives. But now it appears that they've also, some of them, were using that opportunity to bring weapons in and stash them for this day that happened last weekend.
Yeah, and this sort of buys into this fallacy, and it's the same fallacy that we fell into after 9/11, which is that all people are fundamentally the same, and if you just give them economic opportunity and you give them a chance to increase their material prosperity, they'll set aside their religious priors and their beliefs about God and about humanity, and they'll basically all become good little versions of U.S. consumers. And that's totally wrong. You know, after 9/11, we told ourselves that we could make Iraq just like us, that the Iraqis were just like us, and all they wanted was freedom. Well, that turned out not to be true. And we said the same thing about Afghanistan. The Afghanis, the Afghans [S2] Right. [S1] Are just like us. That turned out not to be true. Israel to some extent, and Netanyahu and the leaders of Israel said and thought the same thing about Hamas, that, you know, and many of the people who live in Gaza, that they just, you know, need a chance. They're just like us. Classical liberalism, you know, democratic institutions, a democratic society is not fungible. It can't be imported or imposed in other parts of the world. It relies as a precondition on Western civilization and a specifically Judeo-Christian conception of God and man and the world.
Excellent point. John Daniel Davidson, senior editor with The Federalist. John, I'm not a Biden supporter. I've criticized him often, but I do say that yesterday, although late as it was, he was actually appearing presidential in his remarks, but he slid past denouncing money going to Iran and what role the Biden administration played in, you talk about fungibility, of giving money, even though it's not actually released, making sure Iran knows you got $6 billion coming, you're free to roam about the country and destroy everything.
Yeah, well, the money speaks a lot louder than Biden's words. His words are empty compared to the policies that his administration has pursued. They basically picked up the Obama administration's disastrous policies that sought to elevate Iran as a regional hegemon, and ran with it. Funding that went to Iran, and it's not just the $6 billion. The total is much, much greater than that. That the Biden administration has helped unlock. And of course money is fungible. If you open up tens of billions of funding for humanitarian aid or whatever for Iran, that frees up the leaders of Iran to redirect money toward groups like Hezbollah and Hamas.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what's happened.
I mean,
so
I
it doesn't matter what Biden said.
No, I agree.
It matters what he does.
You're right. I mean, are they think that the terrorists do not know how to launder money like the Biden family has been doing? Come on. But here's the other deal. If you're a terrorist leader somewhere and you're seeing that the U.S. has an open border, no bother checking, just walk on through, would you pass up the opportunity to invade this nation?
Probably not. I mean, you know, we have hundreds and hundreds, thousands of people from countries with terrorist problems that have come across the southern border illegally, hundreds of people on the terrorist watch list. You know, when you let 5,000 people from every country, 5 million people from every country in the world come across the border, you're going to get some bad actors mixed in among them. And there's no question that we have a major security problem on our southern border.
In the last 30 seconds, we've had enemies with Germany, with Japan, we're allies now. We work together, not necessarily in step all the time. But can you not have coexistence and yet have differing opinions, or is it simply a religious divide?
It's a religious divide, and it requires the total destruction of one side, right? When Eisenhower sent U.S. troops into Germany in 1945, he issued his proclamation number one, calling and promising the total eradication of the Nazi army and the Nazi regime. Total eradication.
Right.
There could be no coexistence with Nazis. There can be no coexistence with Hamas.
John Daniel Davidson, I do thank you for your time. Always enlightening.
Thanks for having me.
We'll do it again. Coming up, what is Russia saying about what happened in Israel, especially with Hamas terrorism? You don't want to miss the answer. Coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I have only one recommendation for you when it comes to jewelry. Vincent's Jewelers. I've had Vincent's custom make some pieces for me. I've bought quality pieces right out of the case. Vincent's locally owned, supporting local charities for more than 42 years. Check their website daily for new items or specials. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Give Vincent's a chance for your business. Vincent's, my only jeweler. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
President Xi is really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
I really, really enjoy a great cigar and a premium whiskey. And if you do, you should join me at Lit Cigar Lounge in the district off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is open to everyone, but I decided to become a member. You can too. Get special gifts, special events. Ladies, don't be intimidated. Bring a group of girlfriends. You'll also enjoy Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit also has a cigar and tobacco shop on Main Street in Old St. Charles. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
Boom, 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 boom. Gonna shoot your eye down. Take you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
After hundreds of Israelis were slaughtered by Hamas near Gaza, condemnation and condolences poured in from around the world, but not from Russian leader Vladimir Putin. Now, in his first comments, instead of empathy, Putin blasting the U.S.
This is a clear example of the failure of the United States policy in the Middle East, which tried to monopolize any settlement between Israelis and Palestinians.
Kremlin-controlled TV following suit, mocking both America and Israel for allegedly being caught off guard by Hamas's attack.
Mossad and its famous counterintelligence, as well as the U.S. and its CIA, slept through Hamas's invasion. It's the biggest Israeli failure in security since 1973.
That is part of a report from CNN, and it's a pretty legitimate report, unbiased, unslanted. MSNBC has been mixing up facts with, again, opinion, and some of the guest hosts they're having already give you an indication where they're going, and that is to find an excuse, an explanation for what happened in Israel the other day, and to start in the process to condemn Israel for continuing to rain rockets down on the Gaza Strip. Why not stop and cease? These people have no real understanding of the real world. Let's bring it down to just a simple assault case, a simple little event that happened just the other day in New York City. A man and his girlfriend sitting on a bench. It was early morning. They'd returned from a party on their way home, and I don't know if they're waiting a bus or not, but another man walks past them, and then they happen to pick up and start walking behind him. They're not following him. They're just walking behind him. They see him kicking these motorbikes, pedestrian bikes all over, and they don't say anything, but he turns and sees this. What are you looking at? And he pulls a knife and starts going at it. The man says, hey, we're not looking at anything. Chill, man, chill. And the guy just keeps coming. So the man gets between the attacker and his girlfriend. And he's stabbed to death repeatedly. And then he turns to threaten the girlfriend. Then goes back and continues stabbing the man and then leaves. You take that one isolated scenario and you multiply it across the world. at what point was he going to be stopped? Were you going to just let him continue to do it? If someone had been there with a pistol, what are you going to shoot him in the leg? Shoot the knife out of his hand? All these crazy theories? No, you're going to stop him. And that's what Israel's in the process of doing with Hamas. That means going door to door through the Gaza Strip. It is going to be a deadly, costly effort by the Israeli forces. And unfortunately, citizens will be caught in the middle of it. But you cannot simply say and start buying into the story, okay, enough, enough. Yield, wave white flag. They may end up doing that. Hamas might actually do that. I'm no doubt maybe some of the citizens are trying to. And once the forces are on the ground going there, that'd be one thing. But rockets raining down right now, pulverizing, softening the targets before they get there. Now, you heard how Putin had been responding and not really condemning Hamas for what it did. President Biden did, and I mentioned that in the beginning. I praise him for that. But I refuse to let it slide that he gave money to the very nation that authorized with money going to Hezbollah, Lebanon, the PLO, Hamas, to begin looking for terrorist activities. Iran is known as a sponsor of terrorism. You do not give them, even if they don't have it in their hands yet, $6 billion or tell them you're going to. And again, back to report of where Russia has been versus where it is now.
Russia has long been allied with Israel's staunchest adversaries and Hamas's most important backers, bombing Syrian rebels in support of pro-Iranian fighters battling on the side of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad during Syria's civil war. But Russia also maintained strong ties and security arrangements with Israel, Putin meeting Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on many occasions.
We in no way underestimate the importance of measures that would ensure very strong security of the state of Israel.
But since Putin launched his full-scale war against Ukraine, Tehran has become a key ally for Moscow at Israel's expense, fostering economic and military ties with Iran. While Tehran provides the Russian army with scores of Shahed drones the Russians used to hit Ukrainian cities and infrastructure, Kyiv says, even though Tehran denies it.
And do not forget, to the north of Israel is Lebanon, and they have Hezbollah, another terrorist group, also funded by Iran. And we've already been told that they will be stepping forward at some point. And reports come and go about if they're already sending drones over Israel. Of course, the reference about earlier about the greatest break in Israeli security since 1973, as you heard earlier, is reference to the Yom Kippur War, also known as the Ramadan War, the October War, the 1973 Arab-Israeli War, by all different names. An armed conflict between October 6 to October 25, 1973, involving Israel and a coalition of Arab states led by Egypt. And fighting commenced when Egypt and Syrian forces crossed their corresponding ceasefire lines with Israel and entered the Sinai Peninsula and then the Golan Heights. 3 days of heavy fighting, Israel stopped the Egyptian offensive, pushed the Syrians back to pre-war ceasefire lines, then began another four-day counterintensive battle into Syria, reaching the Syrian capital, Damascus. Egyptian forces eventually pushed two strategic mountain passes deeper into Sinai, but then they got pushed back. And by the 24th of October, the Israelis had improved their positions, and the Yom Kippur began coming to an end, a ceasefire imposed cooperatively October 25. Now, that was a ceasefire between two warring nations. Right now, Israel is going after terrorists. They're not going after a nation of the Gaza Strip. They're going after terrorists. I read for you the other day, and it bears repeating again, During some of that time I was describing of the Yom Kippur War, and following, a statement was made by Golda Meir. She was the one of the founders of the State of Israel, founded in 1948. And, of course, most of the battle was against Arabs in general, which had now split into PLO, Hamas, Hezbollah, Taliban. She said, when peace comes, we will perhaps in time be able to forgive them for killing our sons, but it will be harder for us to forgive them for having forced us to kill their sons. Peace will come when the Arabs love their children more than they hate us. And what we've seen from Hamas recently shows that they do hate more than love even their own. If they're shielding weapons and intel in the midst of villages, communities, apartment dwellings, trying to hide, as I've said before, behind baby cribs and dresses. But it's not just what is happening in Israel as we are speaking. It is impossible to stay on top of everything that's developing. I could be on with you 24 hours a day, day to day, and I could not stay on top of all the developments that are underway. And it's not just what is happening in Israel, but what could happen here? I cannot stress that enough. What could happen here due to Biden's open door policy? That is still to come.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I think the chickens are really coming home to roost for progressives and the Democratic Socialists and really a whole wing of the Democratic Party, which for years has tolerated anti-Israel, anti-Semitism, full-blown anti-Semitic content every single day. I mean, Ilhan Omar, how many times has she been publicly called out for the terrible things she has said about Israel and about Jewish people? The Democratic Socialists of America, which is an organization that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is a part of, Jamal Bowman is a part of, Cori Bush is a part of, these are all House Squad members. They co-organized a pro-Hamas rally in New York City on Sunday, and I personally saw dozens, maybe hundreds of people dressed up as Hamas fighters. People, if you saw them at the movie theater, at the airport, you would call the police.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and these are people in our country.
Absolutely, they're in our country. And they may not be illegal. They may actually be, quote, American citizens. They may have come from Palestine. They may have come from Syria, Lebanon, but they're here now. And they may or may not actually be American citizens, but they came in legally. But then we also know we have untold numbers of illegal. 2 million plus easily, probably 8-10 million just during Biden's administration. And the numbers continue to stack up in Israel while we're just saying what could be happening here. They're reporting more than 1,200 killed, Israelis killed at this point, 2,700 wounded. We don't know the death count out of Gaza Strip because we're not in there yet, obviously, with anyone, except what we get from the Hamas leaders. But what we're doing in this country and how we're destroying it from inside out, aside from Biden's open-door policy. I'd mentioned earlier, let me repeat for you. Students for Justice in Palestine plan a day of resistance, say Israeli civilians legitimate targets. That's in Palestine. And then come back into the U.S. BLM co-founders calling for an end of Israel. They're doing that at Harvard. The Democrat squad continues to call and say Israel should stop attacking Hamas. Tlaib, Congresswoman Tlaib, silent when asked, do you not have an opinion about babies' heads being chopped off? She wouldn't even answer that question, because she is trying to be still aligned with what? Anti-American? Anti-Israel? Again, the Biden statement made, I played earlier for you, shows him as the most presidential effort I've ever seen from the man. He is the commander-in-chief. He deserves respect to that point. But you got to back up your words. Now, in doing his remarks the other day, he took time to refer back to when he was a senator and he was visiting and encountered Golda Meir, the very one I was quoting earlier. Listen.
Over 50 years ago, as a young senator, I visited Israel for the first time as a newly elected senator. And I had a long, long trip, a meeting with Golda Meir in her office just before the Yom Kippur War. And I guess she could see the consternation on my face as she described what was being faced, they were facing. We walked outside in that sort of hallway outside her office to have some photos. She looked at me all of a sudden and said, would you like to have a photograph? And so I got up and followed her out. We're standing there silent, looking at the press. She could tell, I guess, I was concerned. She leaned over and whispered to me. She said, don't worry, Senator Biden. We have a secret weapon here in Israel. My word is what she said. We have no place else to go. We have no place else to go.
That is a touching story. The statement from Golda Meir I read to you earlier, peace will come only when they love their children more than they hate us. And yet Biden is yet to announce he's going to freeze the $6 billion in Iranian cash. Did not even mention Iran's role in this action. There's where his failures are, to begin with. In Michigan, they're having rallies near Dearborn, Michigan, many shouting and cheering for Hamas, free Palestine. You can have that argument over a Palestinian state, an Israeli state, how Palestine feels it got shortchanged. That's fine, but you don't go killing babies in their cribs and people who are just not involved in any of it. They're just living their lives. I go back to a comment written by my guest earlier on his piece for the Federalist, John Daniel Davidson, which, by the way, you can pull up and see yourself. He says the conflict unfolding in the Middle East is fundamentally religious in ways that are fairly obvious. What is less obvious, because we are a post-Christian people, is that the conflict unfolding in America is equally religious. Hamas and pagans stand on one side, Christians and Jews on the other. Only one side is going to win. And Jake Tapper says, really, we're seeing eye-opening anti-Semitism on the left. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.